sing this third verse with all our hearts. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. Several prayer requests tonight, and I'm going to ask, is Joe Hera, is Joe in here? If Joe will come and pray over these prayer requests, and I think they've asked for Joe to pray over the shoe boxes that we put together for the children, pray that those go in the right places and fall in the right hands, and just bless the efforts there. And I'll just go ahead and make an announcement that they placed in here that if you forgot to bring your shoe box, you can drop it by the church tomorrow. So there's still one more opportunity to get those turned in. Prayer request. Let's remember Sister Jordan Hayden turns this in, her friend's mother, Sherry Campbell. She'll be having open heart surgery in the morning, so covet your prayers. Please have prayer for Sister Christine Baker, having a lot of leg pain. We know that God is able. It's from the Baker family. Request for brother and sister Jim Puff and family. Their son died, and the funeral's tomorrow. They go to Brother Lloyd Wallace Church in Richmond, Virginia. Sister Janet Payne turns that in. Sister Barron has two unspoken important requests that she'd like for us to pray about. Sister Joanne Tessa would like for the church to keep her in prayer. She'll be flying to Maryland to visit her daughter for Thanksgiving. So let's remember that. Sister Mary Lewis would like for us to pray for her dad. He was admitted into the hospital last night. He's in critical care. Blood clots in both of his lungs, an infection in his lungs, prostate cancer, and pulmonary fibrosis. My dad is in serious need of the mercy of God, so sounds like a desperate situation. I think that's all of the prayer requests for tonight. If we could, let's stand, and if Brother Joe don't mind to come, and we'll just take these needs to the Lord tonight.
Let's all pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord. Lord, this day is behind us, Lord. Some of us may have weights of the day, Lord, that have kind of bogged us down, Lord, have kind of drug us down, Lord. But, Lord, may we leave them here tonight. Lord, as the word comes forth tonight, Lord, may we take our burdens, Lord, of the day that Satan would have dragged us down with, Lord. We lay them at your feet and leave them there. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you, Lord, and bring these needs, Lord. Lord, we know when you walked here on earth, Lord, you healed the sick, you raised the dead, Father. You're still alive today, Father. The blood on Calvary is still fresh as it was the day it was shed, Lord. May we trust in that for the healing of these people, Lord. These needs are many, Lord. They're desperate, Lord. If we can put our place in their, put ourselves in their place, Father. Lord, how desperate would we be to touch the hem of your garment, Father? We're believing that, Lord, the hands that was raised, the needs, Lord, the request, the desire, the urgency of each heart, Lord. You know that. Lord, is the group here, Lord, has come together, Lord, with this the shoebox thing for those that are needy, Lord. Lord, we want to make sure, Lord, that our efforts, Lord, to be a blessing to others, Lord, is gone in the right direction, the right people, Lord. Only you will know who was touched and who was blessed, Father. We pray your anointing would follow those, Lord, as they go, Lord, and somehow, some way, Lord, may they realize that it was you that blessed them, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray for this service. We pray for Brother Joel, Lord, as he leads us singing, Lord. May he follow your leading in the worship, Lord. The musicians, Father, may they have a desire, Father, to play the music in the way that you would want them to, Lord. We lay it at your feet, Lord. Bless our minister as he comes forth. Bless the word, Lord. Lord, help us not just to accept it, Lord, as just a gospel of good news, Lord, but may it be, this is a training day for us, Lord. We might have a battle tomorrow, Father, that we could rearm for tonight. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that it's you that's fighting our battles, Lord. But we got to accept that from you tonight. We thank you for it. Bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Anytime, any place, anywhere. You can be seated this evening. It's been a while since I've led the singing, so I can sing my favorites and it won't feel like they've been wore out. Let's sing anytime, any place, anywhere.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, to meet you there.
Walk on the water. Gee, you know what? The brothers like to come and lift the offering tonight.
Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to your wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to the rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Walk right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven, just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father, in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water. I spoke to your wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Thank you, Lord. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you? walk right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Child, where I brought you from, take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through?
And he said, I walked on the water, sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
You know, I think I've mentioned it before, but this song's got one part of it. You know, there's things that you like. That first song, As the Deer, You Are My Friend, You Are My Brother, Even Though You Are My King, that just stands out to me at that song. I just love that whole song for that line. The King is my friend, and he's my brother. I love that. This song, I absolutely love the part where it talks about, I spoke to your wind. And I love to think about your wind, my wind and your wind's two total different things, I guarantee it. But he can speak to all of our winds, and they hush. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I feel like praising him for the winds that's been hushed in my life. Let's sing that again. I usually let you sit, but if you're thankful tonight and you want to stand and sing that chorus with me and thank God for hushing the winds that are in your life, that allow you to sit here tonight and worship God, freedom and truth.
Well, didn't I walk on the water and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to your wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
He said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Take a look behind you, how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through?
But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to your wind.
Thank you, Lord.
And it gave me peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven? Did I die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
You can be seated tonight. I think the Brown, or the gentleman, young men, I don't know if Brother Joel's singing with them, or the boys have a song for us, and I think Brother Joel King has a song for us tonight. If you want to come, be getting ready to sing when they get finished.
shined among us, His glory revealed. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified.
Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me.
sure enjoyed those songs tonight. Very talented people that we have here. Didn't even know about. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come, bring us the word tonight. They did ask for us to announce that any changes to the church directory need to be made in the library by Sunday, November the 29th. So if you've got any changes to make to address or phone numbers, get that in to them. Let's sing What a Mighty God Jesus Is as Brother Donnie comes.
What a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God Jesus.
Once again, oh hallelujah, oh what a mighty God Jesus is. Everybody sing it to Him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Let's turn tonight to the book of Numbers, if you would. Chapter 25. I'd like to read verse 1 through verses 4. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Sacrifices of their gods. So any doctrine that leads you to more than one God, it's idolatry and heathenism.
Amen.
And the people did eat. That's what they do. When they're invited to sit down at the table of multiplicity of gods, that's what generally they do. They sit down and eat. And then it confuses them. And then what did they do? They bowed down to their gods. So they partook. Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, now listen, this is a God of love. The same God that people say today, God is a God of love. Let's read how He loves, shall we? Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord. Cut them off. That is love. It is love. Why? What would you do if you had a cancer? And the doctor told you, now we can go in there and we can cut that out of your body. Now you're going to tell the doctor, now doctor, that ain't love, is it? First of all, that doctor is probably going to send you to the psychiatric ward and have them to examine your head before they remove the tumor. Now, is it love? You tell me, is it love or not to remove a tumor out of your body? Well, why do folks have a problem when God goes to removing spiritual tumors out of His body by preachers preaching the Word? And they say it ain't love. But it is love. It's a greater love for the entirety of the body. So watch what God tells them to do. Take all the heads of the people, hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. A God of love gets angry? How many times you figure you've made Him mad? I ain't even got enough fingers and toes, have you? But I'm so glad that He's merciful, that whenever we ask Him to forgive us, that He's there. Let's bow our heads together and ask Him to speak to us tonight. Lord Jesus, we love You so much. We thank You, dear God, for these things that are written in Your Word. Lord, we're grateful that we can read this from Your Bible, and it does not offend us. I know this is not politically correct in the day that we're living. People don't want to know this about You, but I want to know this about You. I want to know who You are. I want to know the aspects of Your character. I want to know You. And if there's anything in my life that makes You angry or upset, I want to change that, Lord, so that it does not displease You. Help us tonight, Father, as we look into Your Word. Speak to us, would You, Lord? Give us a heart to hear, eyes to be able to see, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, we know from what we've been dealing with for the last few services on this that Dr. Balaam has now been able to achieve by teaching, counsel, and doctrine what he could not be able to achieve by prophecy. God shut his mouth so he was not able to prophesy against the children of Israel. Him being a prophet, a true prophet. Balaam was a gifted prophet of God. Now, I know I'm laying it out heavy for you, but Balaam was a prophet of God, gifted, called, anointed prophet of God. You said, Brother Donnie, you said he was a soothsayer. He was, after he sold his gifts. But this man was a prophet. Now, I know that tends to shake us a little bit, and that's why you're crying. But this man was a prophet. He was called. He was anointed. He was gifted. But he had the ability to do with this prophetic gift what he wanted to do. Elvis Presley had a gift from God to sing. Roy Acuff, Loretta Lynn, many on and on and on and on we could go, who started out in church and they sold their gift to be able to make country music or rock and roll or whatever more. Did God take the gift away from them? And then they got up on the Grand Ole Opry stage to sing for the devil and shake their leg, and they opened their mouth to sing. They started crowing like a rooster. They still had their ability to sing. They had their charisma. They had the ability to move crowds. As a matter of fact, they had a greater following than they did when they were singing in a Pentecostal church. Right? So when God gives gifts, those gifts remain, and then those people become responsible with what they do. So God don't take the gift when people will backslide and get away from it. Now, let us look at this, first of all, in the view of the Scripture. Was Balaam a prophet? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the... Okay, so the New Testament calls Balaam a prophet. You will agree with that. Now, here Balaam, Peter also identifies something about Balaam, the prophet, which is very outstanding, and he calls this the madness. He calls it the madness, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, I found this in history. I want to share it with you. That Balaam, though a diviner and a soothsayer, is called by the Jewish writers, who they say was first a prophet, then a soothsayer. Jerome says that he was first a holy man, a prophet of God, and afterwards, through disobedience and a desire of gifts, was called a diviner. Now, you mean a man could actually be gifted in the realm not just to be a preacher, not just to be a singer or a Levite, but actually be gifted to be a real prophet, but then later would sell out his gifts for wages and become from a prophet of God to a soothsayer? Now listen carefully. His madness lay in going exact opposite to God's divine counsel. And the word madness there, the Hebrew word, is actually insanity. So Balaam is now considered insane because he overrides what God tells him to do. So the dumbass spoke to him, to the madness of the prophet, and forbade the prophet. Now listen how Brother Branham picks it up in the message, earnestly contending for the faith. Now Balaam, or Balak rather, the king of Moab, he wasn't an infidel. He was a believer. Sure he was. And Balaam wasn't an infidel. Balaam the prophet, he was a believer. Here's two sets of believers. The same spirit like Cain and Abel. Now notice we got Balak, a believer. We've got the Moabites, believers. And we've got a prophet, Balaam, a believer. And then we have Moses, a prophet, a believer. And the children of Israel, believers. Two prophets, two sets of believers, and two kings. And they've all got the same spirit. Same Holy Ghost on Moses, same Holy Ghost on Balaam. Same Spirit of God on Israel, same Spirit of God on the Moabites. My, my. Brother Michael, run that amen tape. Brother Brad, run the amen tape every few minutes. Now listen, church. Again, he says, Moses had Abraham's promise. Listen now. Moses had Abraham's promise. Moses had Abraham's promise. Glory. And going to the promised land, Balaam also a prophet of the Lord. Oh my goodness. A prophet of the Lord? Standing down there, and the only way you could identify, not from the fundamental teaching, but by the characteristic of God. Now listen, here is Balaam, that if we would judge him according to the book of Deuteronomy, God said that when a prophet says something and it comes to pass, then fear that man. If that's the only identity we'll check Balaam by, we'll have to fear him just like we do Moses. But we must look beyond just one scriptural identification and look for those other identifications that God hides in the elect, so the elect will be able to know what is true and false. Because on the great mysteries, of course, at the end time, it's going to be false anointed ones. Now listen, friend, don't think for 1 minute in your life that it's going to be the government of the United States that's going to come among the elected and try to deceive the bride. Don't you think for 1 minute in your life that it's going to be Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or some of that stuff out yonder that's going to move right around this to where Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, it would be so close it would deceive the elected if possible. Don't think in your mind that it's going to be the denominational thing. It must come from right among us. It must be so close that it would get the attention of the elect. Does it really matter to you what Oral Roberts said? Does it really matter to you what Franklin Graham said, or what the smiley preacher from Texas has to say, or somebody else? Why, of course not. But if somebody stood up and said, Brother Graham said this and Brother Graham said that, that would get your attention. And then you'd think, oh my, well, maybe that's right. I don't know. Maybe it is right. But you have to check not just one statement here and one statement there, but it must be word by word by word. And then follow the lives of the individuals that have embraced these said doctrines and see what kind of life it produces out of them, and ask yourself, is that what you want to become? And if you want to become indifferent and grouching, hateful and contrary, then go ahead and do it. Myself, I desire to be more like Jesus, not like the devil. That's right. I don't consider Jesus full of hate, do you? I don't consider Jesus being mean and all that sort of thing. I want to be identified by the characteristic of God. Now, I realize I'm making profound statements here, but listen to this. He says about Moses, it was the characteristic of God. There was a shout of the voice of the king down there with Israel. The atonement was in effect, and a brass serpent, a smitten rock, and God was with them, identifying himself in a supernatural life and healing their sickness and diseases as they went on. The characteristics proved what he was, staying in line for the word of that age, for the age that they were living in. Now, Now, just because somebody said, Brother Ram said, Brother Ram said, Brother Ram said, that don't mean they're really following the message of the hour. Come on now. The message of the hour does not stop with Brother Branham. Brother Branham's fulfilled his part of Malachi 4. Now it's your time to take that word and live what he preached. And no, we're not looking for a new revelation, not looking for a new prophet to take us in. There was not another prophet between John the Baptist and Jesus. There's not a seventh and a half day messenger. There's not an eighth day messenger. The next thing is the millennium for the bride. And the prophet said, if anything ever rises greater than this, thus saith the Lord, I'm a false prophet. There'll never be nothing ever rise greater than Malachi 4. In our ranks or nowhere else. Why? Because it's not allowed in the Word of God. I'm not saying there won't be things that'll rise up, but it's not from God. Amen. Now watch. He said the characteristics prove that they were staying in line for the word of that age. For the age that they were living in. Notice again he says, you see Moses being the correct prophet of God. Not only had the fundamental parts, but had the identification of God. He was in the line of duty. Exactly what was promised for that age. Not for the age of Noah, but for the age then. I'll take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. They were on their way, and Israel was identified with their prophet. So what did the devil do? Then the devil brought up another prophet to try to pull Israel away from the true prophet. The true prophet, all the time, boy, he was telling them, don't do this and don't do that. And you no doubt he was hard. No doubt he preached hard. No doubt he dealt with things hard. And what did this other prophet go to say? Well, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to do all that stuff. Come on over here and be identified with us. Oh, my. And isn't it amazing that many of Israel left the original teaching of the prophet of God and went right over with this other prophet anointed with the same Holy Ghost. But he wasn't saying what the messenger had already said. Oh, God, help us. Notice exactly what was promised for the age. Not the age of Noah, but for the age then. I'll take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they were on their way. Israel was identified with their prophet Moses and with the message of that age. God's characteristics identified in Moses. God's characteristics identified in Moses, a pillar of fire was following him. He also had the atonement in action. Not speaking of it, but had it in action. I don't want to just talk about salvation. I want to see it. I don't want to just talk about the Holy Ghost. I want it. I want to see it among us. Amen. Had it in action. Not what will be, what is right now. Don't just tell me what God done 40 years ago. Don't tell me what God's going to do 20 years from now. Tell me what God's doing tonight. Tell me what's His Word producing in your heart right now. What's this in paragraph 54? Then they were traveling in the line of promise. That was another identification to show God's characteristic. Now Balaam had the word. The word come to him. He heard the voice of God. And he was able to prophesy great, tremendous things even about the coming of the Messiah. But he had not personally the characteristic of God. He was anointed. But that anointing had nothing to do with his soul identity. It was something that come on him. It'd be like taking open this bottle and pouring it out. So the Holy Ghost fell on Balaam, as I said last Wednesday night. Because the donkey spoke with a human voice, didn't mean he was a human. Because Balaam spoke with the voice of God, didn't mean he was God. Didn't mean he was even true or right with God. Come on, children. But yet Moses had the identification of God, or the characteristic of God's traits. Notice this now, how he says, the identification of the characteristic of God among them. He identified himself. Two prophets. Both of them prophets. Wonder if Balaam had a pillar of fire over him. Wonder if Balaam had some supernatural things going around him. Wonder if Balaam couldn't really talk. Oh my, I imagine he was a much better spokesman than Moses was. I'll prove that to you, Brother Ben said that. Now watch, now how many people, he says, watch what they look. Many people go to looking, and when they go to seeking out God, and they're in the line of duty, in the path, path of duty, and then Satan raises up. If they want a prophet, fine. It's amazing how people do. You know, if they look to a pastor, then God will send them a pastor. Then Satan will have another pastor over here to offer them one that will weaken it down. If they're looking for a prophet, then Satan will have the office of a prophet over here that will weaken it down to take away the power of God. He knows exactly what you're looking for. Watch this, he said, but God identified his characteristics in Moses because he had the characteristic of God with him. Again, he said, now many people has tried to make Balaam just, a soothsayer or something. But Balaam was not a soothsayer. He was a prophet of the Lord. But Brother Donnie, you read to us that Balaam was a soothsayer. That's right, he was in the book of Joshua. But in the book of Numbers, he's not called a soothsayer. In the book of Numbers, he was a prophet. But he sold his prophetic gift and he traded it to become a soothsayer. How many preachers that used to preach this message and now don't even believe it? Are they still called to preach? Maybe. If God once called them, they still got the gift there. And yet, why they preach now? Some of them, they used to preach the message now preaching Pentecost. Oh yeah, some of them, they used to preach the message now preaching against the message. Right? So what'd they do? Sold their birthright. And their name was removed from the book of life when they done it. Now think, so Balaam was a prophet of the Lord. A prophet that had the supernatural access to God. He had access to God which only a prophet has. But yet by taking the wages and loving the wages of unrighteousness more than he loved to stand for what was truth, he actually sells out his gift and he becomes so money crazy and so popularity crazy and desiring to be something among the people that he walks from being a true prophet of the Lord to becoming a soothsayer. Goodness. Moses, he said, Moses, the prophet of God, his king was God. That's where he got his orders, the word of the Lord. And Balaam, he also had a king. And that king was Balak. Now listen, during this time frame, something happened to Balaam to where under the madness of the age or the insanity of the age that came upon Balaam, before this time, apparently, he had another king. But now his king became Balak. And no longer is he really interested in what God wants, but he's interested in what Balak wants. What does he want? He wants a man that'll be able to blaspheme or bless these people out and tell them they're going to hell and all that. He couldn't do it by prophecy. But after the anointing moved off of him, then he went, his mind thinking, how can I do this? How can I do this? And all of a sudden, demons out of hell begin to come to him with this false doctrine. With this air and begin to say, you know what? If somehow you could get these people off the word, it will make God himself turn against them. If you can get them to believing in two gods or two lords, or if you can get them worshiping some other, if you can get them off the word, God himself will turn right against them. Lord have mercy. Notice this paragraph 180. He said, now we want you to notice this man was a prophet ordained of God. Now we think when we hear of somebody being a prophet, to us, we say, oh my goodness, if they're a prophet, they always are. Really? Really? A person could be a prophet. Now here's Brother Branham calling Balaam a prophet. You're going to debate with him? I'm not going to. So Balaam was a true prophet of God. This man was a prophet ordained of God. But listen what this prophet did. He sold his birthrights for political reasons. Just as the church did today, like Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the whole group of them sold it out for pulls in their organization. Moses under God, Balaam under Balak. Yet both prophets were called men of God. And both spiritual. Now I want to ask you, if you'd have been living there in that time and you'd have heard both of these prophets, which one would you took sides with? You may be faced with this thing before we leave this world. Who knows what God will allow to come? Remember, this is the last thing before Moses is fixing to pass. This is only a few months left in the 40th year of their journey. This is the last thing that they're before Joshua is fixing to take them over. And what does God allow a false prophet to raise right up among them? A man that started out as a true prophet with a true gift, ordained of God, but sold out his birthrights. Oh my. Both prophets were called men of God. Lord Jesus, keep me true, Lord. Notice again, does God change his mind about his word again? Paragraph 172. But what happened? Balaam, he succeeded in weakening Israel. What did he do? He weakened their camp. God let him go and weakened their camp, and it polluted the whole camp. And when some doctrine starts that's not the Bible truth, it pollutes the whole camp. Somebody raise up with a different idea like Cor and say, well, this or that or the other. I got a different idea. It pollutes the whole camp. Brother, sister, how many have we had? How many preachers that no doubt started out, look at all these moves that's been around the message, and no doubt many of them were good, God-called, God-ordained men. And many of them sold out their birthrights and caused the biggest mess in this message that ever was. And will stand before God for adulterating the word, the message of the hour. And look at the end result of every one of them moves. Where does it end up? It ends up in error. It ends up in taking on men's spirit. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. I want us to stay true to this word, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We don't want to be Reaganites. We don't want to be Wardites. We want to be Christians filled with the presence of God. Oh my, think of how a man gifted by God. Now this is beyond just being a pastor. This is beyond just being a good speaker. This is up into the highest realm of spirituality that we know a prophet. A prophet. And yet a prophet has the ability to sell his gift and turn from being a prophet and go exactly the opposite direction and become a soothsayer. Oh my. Notice how Brother Ram words this. I love this because it's an identity of what we know, of course, must happen on the last day. Well, this and that, he said, a different idea pollutes the whole camp. And that's what's done the whole church today. That's right. Teaching as he did, weakening the whole camp for Kadesh Barnea, the word showdown. Now you realize there's so many of them people, the children of Israel, that still have no identity on the other side. And something's got to come among them. And the last pull is a false prophet. This is the last separating line before they're fixing to cross over. Bring it on, Lord's what I say. That means we're closer than we've ever been. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Finally, they listened to this false teacher come in among them and teach wrong. It weakened the camp. And prospered by it. Now listen, weakened the camp and prospered by it. He might have built $1 million buildings. Praise the Lord. Might have built $1 million buildings. He might have had great denominations. He might have had thousands times thousands and done great works and mighty works. Which would deceive thousands around this message. Show people a sign or a wonder and they'll leave the word just like that. Won't even check it by the word. Will not even check. Where's it leading to? Where's it going? God never sends signs to pull you away from the word. Never. Notice how he says this now. Weaken the camp. Might have been million, might have built $1 million buildings. He might have had great denominations. He might have added thousands times thousands and done great works and mighty works. He was a prophet. Was a prophet. Remember, 24,000 people died in the plague. There must have been thousands times thousands of people that went over and took up at the teaching of this false prophet. Oh my. Lord Jesus, help us. He said he'd done great works and mighty works and was a prophet. And Happy Valley said,
amen.
That's all right. But as long as it's not with the Word of God, you better stay away from it. I don't care if a man walks on water. I don't care if he tells him what I eat for breakfast and what I eat for lunch and what I eat for supper. It don't make a bit of difference if you don't say what the law and the prophet said. I ain't going to follow it. Come on, church. We need to have our foundation upon the Word of God. Don't you understand that the pre-tribulation anointing that will come against the Gentile bride in the last days, those false prophets that will come in the last time through the power of the Antichrist, what will they do? Be able to call fire down out of heaven and do all sorts of things, and Satan coming to that headship upon the earth, and it will be allowed to weaken the bride camp one final thing before she gets ready to go. But let me tell you, with the 24,000 that followed him and died in the wilderness, there was tens of thousands of others that it did not slow them down at all. They stayed right on that word. They judged that word and they said, there's something wrong with what that man said. There's something wrong about what he's prophesying. There's something about it that ain't right. If God's got something to say, he'll say it through Moses. Hallelujah. If God's got something to say, he'll say it through Moses. He don't need a junior prophet. Oh my, listen to this, and the anointed one is the end time. Balaam, anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. What was the difference? The teaching of Moses was perfect. Amen. The teaching of Moses was perfect. So the prophecy of Balaam, accurate. His prophecy was just as accurate as Moses. Right? As a matter of fact, he got to speak more emphatic prophecies about the Messiah than Moses did. His prophecies were more illuminating than the prophecies that Moses was allowed to make. So you check him by accuracy of his prophecies right on the dot. But what was his error? His teaching. His teaching, what was it? A denominational headship. I'm the main man and y'all come under me. Oh my. Uh-oh, here we go. The teaching of Moses was perfect. The Bible second said here in 2 Peter that it was the teaching of Balaam that Israel received. Listen, friends, how serious this is. God never did forgive unpardonable sin. Unpardonable. No forgiveness. This is serious. We're not talking about robbing a bank. We're not talking about stealing $5 from your neighbor. We're not talking about a white lie. We're talking about something that there is no forgiveness for. To receive the teaching of a false prophet against the true teaching of a real prophet of God is unforgivable. Oh my goodness, how can I not cry out? How can preachers not cry out when this is laying before us? Oh my, God never did forgive unpardonable sin. Not a one of them got saved. Though they come out under the blessings of God and seen the hand of God moving by his mighty prophet and seen it exactly vindicated by God. And because another prophet come in with a teaching contrary and disputed with Moses and tried to prove to the people that Moses was wrong. Moses said there's only one Lord, but in reality there's two. You better get away from that nonsense. Moses was Jesus only, and I'm a theologian. I'm sent to straighten you out. You're a theologian that's sent to lead us to hell, you mean. Anybody says contrary to what that prophet said, I don't care how much they shout, speak in tongues, how many dreams I have or whatever more. If it's contrary to what's written in the Word, they're liars. And remember, it don't take 57 quotes that they're saying, oh my, you know, 57 out of 53. No, all it takes is one little word.
And the biggest lie that was ever told is going to have 99% truth in it. It's not, well, the prophet said this and the prophet said that and the prophet said that. But watch, the Holy Ghost never leaves the Word. But the spirit of error will leave it eventually. Just keep listening. Keep listening. Keep watching. And if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. Oh, there, they left the Word. They left the Word. It's off the Word. The Holy Ghost can never leave the Word. Lord Jesus, because another prophet, not a soothsayer, a prophet ordained of God, called of God, gifted of God, anointed by God. But Brother Donnie, why didn't God stop him whenever he got into this air? Why didn't? Because now he could take his gift and do what if he wanted to with it. Well, God shouldn't do that. God shouldn't. No. You shouldn't listen. God is going to try you. God is going to try me. That's why we have all these gates. And he said in Deuteronomy, you'll go worship in the place that I chose to put my name. You'll not worship in all these other gates. And Brother Ram said, why do you have them gates there? He said, to tempt you by. To try you. So here's a Baptist gate, a Methodist gate, Church of God gate, here's the Seventh Thunder gate, here's the Prussian, here's another gate, another gate, another gate, and the real bride's going, oh Lord, where should I go? Where should I go? But the real elect of God hear the voice of God behind the true gate, which is the Word. And all the rest of them gates are there to try you. And your flesh might come over here and pull toward that one and this and that. But the real elect of God will go to the right gate just as sure as there's a God in heaven. Because their soul is ordained to be a part of the Word for the hour. Amen. In the middle of that, God will prove, Satan, there is a people that you cannot deceive. Brother, sister, I thank God every week that goes by for predestination. Oh, where would we be tonight if it wasn't for it? Oh my, another prophet come in with a teaching contrary and disputed with Moses and tried to prove to the people that Moses was wrong. Listen to this in Power Transformation. Balaam seemed to be a more instructive man than Moses was. Remember now, Moses had a problem. To talk plain. So an hour and a half sermon took him 3 hours to get it out because he just stuttered and rambled everywhere. And no doubt Dr. Balaam was so precise. Been a former Baptist or former Methodist, whatever, you know. And come out of this school and that school and was really scholared and learned how to study and learned how to Google. An idiot can Google. People think they're so educated because they can Google. Come on, my grandkids can Google. I'm talking about the little bitty fellers. You think you're educated? Boy, I studied this out and I couldn't find this and that and the other. That don't mean you're smart. That don't mean you're spiritual. Come on, children. But people say, my, I look and I'm trying to find the facts of this and that and the other. Well, when you get done searching for the facts and the message, find me a few facts about God on Google. See if you can find where God lives. See if you can find what God's address is. See if you can find when God came into existence. See if you can Google God and see if there's any proof for Him out there. But I'll tell you, before you do it, you ain't going to find none. Because God is not proved by science, and God sure don't need Google. In the beginning was not Google, but in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was not Yahoo, but in the beginning was the Word. And then we said Yahoo about it. Hallelujah to God. So we're not looking for scientific proof and research. Well, I can speak better. I don't care how well they can speak. If they speak contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. Balaam seemed to be a more instructive man than Moses was, see? He come from a great nation where there was great people and it was all organized together. The land of Moab, great armies and great things that the people in them, oh my, in them days would have feared. And here come a prophet down, a prophet, anointed one, false anointed one. So what is the false anointed one in? What is the false anointed one? It's not the anointing that's false. The false is the individual. The soul of Balaam was error. Do you understand that thing in you that was born of God? Do you understand what that was? Truth. That's why you love truth, Brother Rob. That which is born in you is truth. It is God's word. That's why the prophet said, the reason you cannot deceive the elected is because they are the word. If the government takes all our tapes, takes all of our Bibles, and take all that away from us, you still won't deceive the bride. She's already been out, brother. The seals are open. She is the word. Hallelujah. How in the world did the apostles preach for 30 years before the Bible was ever written? The book of James was the first Bible, the first book of the New Testament that was written in 66 AD, which meant the church preached for over 30 years without a written New Testament. They didn't just have a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They had the epistles of God. They were those living epistles. Hallelujah. So here comes a prophet down. A prophet. Notice how he emphasizes it. Anointed one. False anointed one. Come down to an anointed one. Look how close. And taught the people, and many of them went after that. Don't you never forget that. If this only had a historical point, why would we need to never forget that? See, they went after the thing that wasn't the word. The vindicated, proven word. Let's go to the Pergamene church age. Just take a little look at Balaam. He was religious. He worshiped God. He understood the proper method of sacrificing and approaching unto God. But he was not a... He was not a true seed. Probably that's what I told you. The false anointed ones are false in their soul. Their seed is not truth. Their seed is error. Didn't Jesus say when the good man went forth to sow the seed and the enemy comes in behind it and he sowed the seed of discord, discrepancy? Is that what he said? And what did he give us, the parable, the interpretation of that parable? The good seed are the children of the kingdom and the tares are the children of the wicked one. And they can receive the true anointing of God, but it falls on the error in their soul and they become a false anointing ones. Will they make them grow? Yes. Will they get big numbers? Yes. Can they have miracles? Yes. Can they have a supernatural touch with God? Yes. But they're still false in their soul. But the real seed of God, their names was in that Lamb's book of life. And when the Holy Ghost falls on them, it don't just make them shout. It don't just give them miracles. It gives them a birth. Amen. Error cannot be born. Error cannot be reborn. Only seed can be born. Hallelujah. He was not a true seed prophet. For he took the wages of unrighteousness, and worst of all, he led the people of God into sins of fornication and idolatry. Yet who would dare deny that the Spirit of God manifested through him? And one of the most beautiful portions, absolutely accurate prophecy the world has ever seen. But he never had the Holy Ghost. Think how blessed you are tonight if you got the Holy Ghost in your soul. Oh my. Watch in Numbers 31:16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Notice Moses here identifies it as counsel. Revelation 2:14. Behold, I have a few things against thee because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So a prophet with a real gift, with a real understanding of the approach to God, but he has the ability of selling out. Now, some preachers sell out for money. Some sell out for popularity. They become a convention speaker. They become so sought after around the world. In order to maintain that place, there's certain things you've got to do. Certain things you have to quit preaching, or people won't have you back. Come on now. Don't tell me, I've been there, I know. I've been offered all kinds of money from message folks if I just quit preaching this and that and the other. But you know what? There ain't no for sale sign on this property. This property's done been sold out and the owner likes living here. And I really like the owner. We made an eternal pact. Hallelujah. Amen. I am not for sale. My gift ain't for sale. My church ain't for sale. My understanding ain't for sale. My anointing is not for sale. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus, what about it, Happy Valley? Our church ain't for sale. Our gifts ain't for sale. Our music ain't for sale. Our young people ain't for sale. We belong to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice this again in the Pergamene church age. In spite of the fact that Balaam knew the proper approach to God and could bring forth a revelation from the Lord by means of a special endowment of power, he was still, for all that, a bishop in the false group. For what he did now in order to win favor with Balak, he formulated a plan wherein God would be forced to deal with Israel in death. You tell me who would know this but the devil. So Satan is now moving on this prophet of God. Ordained. You're still looking at me funny. Now this prophet makes his choice. So he sells out. So he walks away with wages of unrighteousness. And now he becomes a teacher of false doctrine. At one time had a place to walk with the prophets. His name to be heralded down through the eternities as a true prophet of God. Now when you think of Balaam, what do you think? Soothsayer, wicked. Oh my. Think of it. Just as Satan knew he could beguile Eve, cause her to fall in fleshly sin, thus causing God, notice how he links the knowledge or the understanding of this back to the Garden of Eden. God allowed this great archangel an understanding to perceive in the Garden of Eden, as long as you keep the word, you're safe. And he heard God say this. Wonder what it was that God, when he told Adam, keep the garden and subdue it. Subdue it and subdue what? What's there that needs to be subdued? What's there that needs to be watched? God didn't come right out and tell him. Now what's the serpent? The devil's going to do this. But he just told him to watch, as God's telling us tonight. He don't necessarily have to go into particulars and give you the date, time, and this and that and the other. Many times he speaks in generalities. And leaves the Holy Ghost saints there to have a consecrated walk with God. And the Holy Ghost will let them know.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. True. Now watch. So he formulates this plan as he did in the Garden of Eden. Balaam knew that if he could get Israel to sin, God would have to deal with them in death. Don't you understand? Who is anointing the majority of preachers in this day to no longer preach wrath, judgment, hell, and all that? You know who's doing that? The devil. They want to preach grace and love and understanding and mercy. And, you know, God, we're all positive around here. We don't preach about hell. We don't preach about the judgment of God. You're not preaching the Bible that. The judgment of God. What kind of preacher would I be to know that it's laying right there in front of people and lead them to believe, well, God ain't going to judge nobody. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. He is. And he'll judge me right with you if I don't tell you the truth. Notice, so he planned a way to get them to come over and join in sin. He sent out invitations to come to the feast of Baal Peor. Come over and worship with us. Now Israel no doubt has seen the feast of the Egyptians, so they did not feel it was too wrong to go and just look on and perhaps eat with the people. What is wrong with fellowship anyway? We're supposed to love them, aren't we? Or how can we win them? Being friendly never hurt anyone. Or so they thought. Now, God want us to be rude? No. God want us to be mean? No. But you just need to be careful where you set your hide down at whose table. Being friendly is all right, but it really depends on how long you're going to be friendly with them. It's one thing to meet folks on the street. How are you? God bless you. Hope you have a nice day. It's another thing to go to their house and listen to a bunch of trash and lies. Or let them come over to your house. Hey, you know what? There's a new message now. Brother Branham only went two-thirds of the way. And now we've got this preacher from over here in California. We got one from down in Trinidad. Or we got one from over Johnson City. And he's going to lead the bride through. That's a bunch of lies. The days of one-man message is over. There are no more one-man scriptures to be fulfilled. They are already fulfilled and completed. Now it is a body move. Amen! It is a body move. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
So now watch this doctrine of Balaam. Now listen, friends, how this syncs up with the thinking of this day. What's wrong with fellowship anyway? We're supposed to love them, aren't we? Or how can we win them? And how many of them Moabites were won? I'm waiting. None! Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Being friendly never hurt anyone, or so they thought. But when those sexy Moabitish women began to dance and undress while they whirled around doing the rock and roll and twist, the lust rose up in the Israelites and they were drawn into adultery. And God in wrath slew, oh my goodness, 42,000. Now here Balaam moves in to his world. Now the soothsayer, now the prophet of God, sells out. He traded off his insight into the realm of the fourth dimension. Traded off his insight into the names of God, the Most High, El Elyon, El Shaddai, things that God revealed to him. Now he sells it out. You talking about corruption in a man's heart, knowing God would kill some of these people. And he does this with this in mind. God will kill you, and I'm going to help God destroy you. Lord Jesus, my God. Notice this again. So Balaam got Israel to commit fornication. Do you know that physical fornication is the very same spirit that lies in organized religion? So then anybody in the message that tries to form an organization. Now you see, Brother Bam told us that organization, the message had never organized. But he did not say the spirit of organization wouldn't try to come in. And it has. It has ever since he was left, ever since he was gone. In 66, the survivors, the men in the message, the preacher started vying for position. Who's going to be Joshua? Who's going to be Caleb? Who's going to be this? They've been fussing and fighting ever since. Trying to see who's going to be the big man. Who's going to take the bride over? Well, I know who the big man is, and I know who's going to take her over. It's this guy right up here. This is the big man. All the rest of us are little people. I said, all the rest of us are little people. Now, there's a few folks that think they're big, but they've only got the fun, their thumbs stuck in their mouth and they're blowing their brains out. They've only got a big head. Praise the Lord. God ain't got no big ones among us and no little ones among us. He's got children. We have different calls and different works, but we all stand on the same plane before the cross of Christ. Is that right, church? Now notice what he got them to do. He got them to commit physical fornication, but organized religion. So making one man the head. Don't you understand what these moves have done over the years? And look at the end of every one of them. Where have they gone? Even if the man died, what happened? The move crumbles and falls apart. What is it? It's the spirit of organization. Well, you've got to answer to New York. Or you've got to answer to this guy over here, that guy over there. It's organization. I said the spirit of fornication is the spirit of organization. All fornicators will have their place in the lake of fire. That is what God thinks of organization. Yes, sir. The whore and her daughters will be in the lake of fire. And you understand, friend, there's many independents that have the spirit of organization. The Baptists, my goodness, there's many Baptist people, they hate the Catholic Church. There's many of the Methodists, they stand against the Catholic Church, but they're tied right to her by the navel of Trinitarian baptism. They're baptized spiritually right into the church. Then when you find that spirit come in the message, well, I'll tell you one thing, if you're going to go on the rapture, you're going to have to get my pastor's tapes. This man right here, he's got revelations and things ain't nobody else got. That's exactly right. Brother Donnie and Brother Tim and all these brothers is going to go on the rapture. They're going to have to get this brother and so-and-so's tapes because God's going to tell him when the rapture is going to be. That was a statement that was made not long ago. Can you imagine people being so stupid? Can you imagine people being so ignorant that they think the whole thing focuses around them? Oh my, there's people all over the world that don't even have electricity. They don't even have a computer. They ain't even got this man's website or our website. They know nothing about the name Donnie Reagan, Tim Prude, whoever. Oh my, I've stood in many of those dark parts of the world. You have too and you have too. Well, they ain't got no electricity yet. You know what? One of the greatest possessions they have is the tapes hanging there on the wall and a little solar tape recorder that you helped buy. And there they are. It's like it was a gold line Cadillac. They're hearing one voice and it wasn't mine. They're hearing one voice and it wasn't Brother Tim. It was the voice of the seventh angel. Come on, children. That's where God wants us to point right back to. That word. Let me find a place to stop before y'all throw me out. Notice this again now. The second step of the doctrine of Balaam, described in Revelation 2:14, wherein Balaam taught Balak to stumble the children of Israel by a united meeting. There the guests would do two more things contrary to the word of God. You'll recall that Balak needed help to keep his kingdom. He called on the most dominant spiritual figure of his day. He did not call, Balak did not call on Balaam because he was a renowned soothsayer or he was a witch. He was not Mr. Pepper. He did not have a psychic station set up on some television somewhere. He was considered the most spiritual man in the entire region. Oh my. Balaam gave the advice and trapped and destroyed Israel. It was first of all to suggest that they all get together and talk things over. Brother John, have you ever considered getting together with all the pastors in the Tri-Cities area and trying to sit down and talk things over them? Why? So they can eat me alive? First of all, if I made the invitation, they knew I'd been on TV, they wouldn't want to be with me nohow. They wouldn't want to be seen in the same drugstore I was in. But what good would it do for me to sit down and say I'm baptized in Jesus' name and I baptize in Jesus' name and y'all are baptized into the Catholic Church? That'd be the end of that breakfast. They'd all get up and leave and I'd have to pay the bill. Get together. Sure, I want to get together. If a person wants a reason of the word, but if they want to argue and go about, you think they're going to baptize their churches in the name of the Lord Jesus? You think a lot of these preachers around you go tell them women, you got to get rid of them shorts. You got to quit cutting your hair. You got to get rid of all that makeup. Well, first of all, most of the wives will leave them because they're the main example of it. Some folks, you're wasting your time trying to talk to them.
Oh, my. Well, some of you didn't like that, but that's the truth anyway.
Now, watch. Suggest they all get together and talk things over and eat together and get things ironed out. So you get together. www.gotohellburnupinthelanesofhell.com when you go to look at their trash. And then you all get together on the website. Well, Brother Branham said this, and I can't find nowhere where 16 men fell off the bridge. I ain't got no historical record nowhere. I'll tell you one thing. I believe he's a false prophet. I believe it. And you sit there and eat all that stuff. Fill your mind with it. You're sitting at the table of Balaam. You better be careful. If you go to atheist websites, you'll find the same format that's on these websites that are questioning the message. You know why? That's where they're getting their anointing. Go to several websites why I left the Pentecostal church, why I left the Baptist church, why I left the Apostolic church, and you'll find the exact same forums and set up exactly as those folks leaving the message. Why? Same spirit. They ain't got nothing new. They ain't got some different setting people free. How many folks have got saved by this move that's rebelling against the message? How many folks have got the Holy Ghost? How many folks have been delivered? Oh, they're delivered from the message. That ain't deliverance. That's hell. You don't walk away from evening light, my friend, and be delivered. You're walking away from the light of God. It is, oh my, it is unforgivable. Goodness. Now what? So going to get together and talk things over and eat together and get things ironed out. After all, understanding each other goes a long way. And once you accomplish that, then you can go from there. The next step would be worshiping together. And of course, a little pressure from the host makes the guests go a lot farther than they intended. Now that not only happened back there to God's church of the Old Testament, but it happened to the church of the New Testament. For there was an emperor who, like Balak, needed to help secure his kingdom. Oh my. What's this doctrine of Balaam? Most carefully notice, above all, that is the deliberate maneuver of a corrupt clergy to bind people to them. By leading the people deliberately into the sin of unbelief. The Nicolaitan doctrine was a corruption of the clergy as they sought political power amongst themselves, while Balaamism is the subjection of the people to their system of creed and worship in order to hold them. Now watch this carefully. What was it that bound the people to the nominal church and thereby destroyed them? It was the creeds and dogmas formed in the church tenets. It was the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They were not given the true food, the Word. They were given the food that came from idol worship. Oh God. Babylonian paganism wrapped up in Christian terminology. Listen, Babylonian paganism wrapped up in Christian terminology. Babylonian paganism wrapped up in message terminology. That very same spirit and doctrine is right amongst all Protestants, and it is called denomination. Nicolaitanism is organization, humanizing the leadership of the church, and thereby disposing the spirit. Balaamism is denominationalism, which takes the church manual instead of the Bible. Lord God, children, if you only knew, if you only knew, some of the things that are happening in our own ranks. Some things that's happened in the last few weeks. If you only knew. Help us, God. And right to this hour, many of God's people are caught in the snare of denominationalism. God is crying to them, come out of her, my people. Lest you be partakers of her sins and you receive not her plagues. You see, they are ignorant, but if the rapture should take place at this moment, ignorance will be no court of appeal from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. When the rapture takes place, you've got to be in the right ranks or you'll be left. If we're caught out there in them Pentecostal churches and them independent charismatic because they're easier than going to Happy Valley, you'll be left here. Lord, children, when he calls for his army, if you're on the side of Moab, you'll be left behind. You've got to be identified in this word. Yes, sir, standing at the place of attention. To be called in the wrong ranks means you're going in the tribulation. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, help us, God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I realize we're living in a serious time, serious hour. The darkness will press against the light like never before. Help us, Lord Jesus. Though Balaam would come among us, may we stay on the straight and narrow path.
Help me, Lord, that I'll never sell my gift. I'll never sell my influence. Help me, Lord God, that I'll maintain faithfulness to the rapture or the end of my life. I don't want to go all these years, Lord, and then sell out at the end. Keep me, Lord Jesus. Keep us true, Father. Lord, we know these things must arise. Balaam will be allowed to come among us. False teachers. Persecution from without, trouble from within. Difficulty on every hand. But we know, Lord, when the storms have passed, the dust is all settled. People come and go. But the elect are still right there where Satan found them. Anchored right there in the Word. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You love Him, children. You want to be faithful to Him. With all your heart. If Balaam comes among us, may God help us to know where to take our stand. False anointed ones, pressure from without, trouble from within. May God keep us. I was meditating yesterday down the basement. I'd been listening to the prophet some. I was just thinking and meditating and praying. I began to hear the words, these words of this song. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Not to stray from this narrow way. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Not to stray from this narrow way. Your enemy, Satan, is trying to stop us from walking this holy and narrow way. Your enemy, Satan, let's stand together, is trying to stop us from walking this holy, this holy way. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. For our names were predestinated and put under that seventh seal. To the end, don't you? God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I love you so much. I'll be gone, Lord willing, this weekend down to Brother Fred, so pray for me. For strength. Brother Ben Norrod will be here in the service this weekend with you, so I know you'll have a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. God bless you, children. I tell you, the Lord gave me that little song yesterday, and I've just been singing it for the last 2 days. I told Carol for church, the Lord gave me a letter to listen to. I said, the only problem I've found is I've wrote 15 verses so far. I love it when the Holy Ghost goes to moving like that. He can write the word. He can write a song, can't he? God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. Help me, Lord Jesus. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. Oh, not to stray from this narrow way. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Not to stray. Narrow way.